Hello and welcome to our most professional podcast ever. There's no grandfather clock, no bedroom, no mother's house. We're just here in beautiful Tempe, Arizona, with all the nice things that come standard at your local Candlewood Suites Hotel. Joined by Adam Foster and Morgan Foster, I'm Adam Loberstein, and let's hop right on to it. We saw three ballparks today, all six teams in the Arizona Fall League, and you know, it seemed like our journey started pretty much before we even got here. Some interesting happenings in the airport in San Francisco, and a little bit of a radar gun that almost wasn't here for us.
Yeah, the Project Prospect radar gun almost got denied access to Arizona because the security guards in the San Francisco airport had never seen a radar gun before, and they thought I was trying to sneak a gun in the airport. So we knew from the very beginning this was going to be a fun and exciting trip.
Yeah, I guess it's just something about, you know, calling it a gun that didn't go over too well in an airport. But, you know, the first guy, it seemed like he knew what it was, and then, you know, the further down the line we went, the radar gun became more of a gun than a baseball tool. But it made it here just like us, and, you know, now we're in Tempe, which is a great centralized location, very easy to get to Peoria, Phoenix, Scottsdale, any site you want to get to, which is basically what we did today. Our first stop, we headed to Peoria. You know, the only main issue was our handy navigation finder wasn't too handy, and we ended up driving in circles for a little while, but we did find IHOP, and then we found the ballpark, so, you know, everything was good from there on out, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty cool, and really the only reason we drove to Peoria in the first place, which was a half an hour out of our way, was to meet and talk to Matt Laporta. We go, we're looking around trying to find him. Of course, he's one of two Milwaukee Brewers players sitting in the dugout, and we just happened to pull Matt Laporta aside.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Matt was an excellent guy. We're going to get you readers out there two stories out of Matt Laporta, a straight interview, and I'm going to be working on a feature story telling you a little bit about Matt's journey to where he got where he is. It's a very interesting tale, and hopefully it'll be a fun one. I know it'll be a fun one for me to put together, hopefully a fun one for everybody to read, but definitely worth the half hour out there, half hour back to get a chance to meet Matt Laporta, a real class act.
Thoroughly impressed by Matt Laporta, and just like we didn't get to see him play, we were hoping to see him take batting practice, but had some things hold us up, but just looking at him, you see these guys and you see still shots of them, and maybe you see some bad scouting video on YouTube, but looking at Matt Laporta, he looks like someone who could play the outfield. We kind of joked about how some Halloween costumes have the huge pectoral muscles and six packs. Matt Laporta's shirt was on, but he looked like he would be more ripped if he didn't wear one.
Oh, absolutely, and that's one thing that's what I walked away with. I mean, we knew that Laporta could slug like none other. We knew what he was developing on, what he didn't need to develop anymore. But, you know, Laporta was a guy that, you look at his height and standing up next to him, he really wasn't towering over us at all. But you see that a guy that, you know, 5'11", maybe he's pushing 6 foot, but, you know, well over 220 pounds, when you just read that, you go, okay, this guy, you know, just it makes you think certain things about a player that you start stereotyping guys, like, based on pure athletic ability that we really knew nothing about. You just look at those numbers and go, okay, that guy's being pushed to first base because of his size just dictates it there. But, you know, seeing him in person, that guy can play left field, third base, you know, whatever they want him to try to do. He has the physical abilities to try out those kind of things. And, you know, he seemed like a guy that was very opening to trying anything, whether it be defense or new techniques on offense. He really wants to be a balanced ball player.
And he said he is feeling a lot more comfortable in left field. When he first signed with the Brewers, he still had a quadriceps injury that plagued him during the end of his senior year, and he said that made it hard to really go all out and sprint towards balls. But yeah, great guy. I thought it was a lot of fun to talk to him, and I know when I published my top 75 prospect list for my ranking program, a lot of people asked, why isn't Laporta higher? I think you're really underrating Laporta. And the more I research him, and after talking to him, I think maybe we did have him a little too low, and we're going to talk about that when next time we do a ranking
system. Absolutely. Well, he's firmly on the radar now, and you know, fortunately, our navigation finder, it got its radar in check for us, because we had a couple games, like Foster was saying, that started at 12:35 here on Saturday in Peoria and Phoenix. Made the trek out to go see Laporta. Once again, more than worth it. But yeah, we basically went to Peoria. There were two things that we had to do. We only stayed there an hour because of these two things. You know, we had to go talk to Matt LaPorta. We had to get to Phoenix in time. And, you know, some good happenings there in Phoenix, a guy that you're high on as a pitcher slash first baseman, but now definitely a pitcher. Joe Savory started for Phoenix today and threw two good innings. What's your assessment on what he did out there on the hill?
Yeah, I think he ended up going three.
Oh, right.
We were able to get the Project Prospect radar gun that happened to make it on the flight on Joe Savory. We had his fastball as low as 89, as high as 92. He was mainly 90, 91. Mm-hmm. Had a little trouble locating his fastball at some points. Didn't throw many breaking balls at all.
Mm-mm.
But I thought he did a really good job at hammering his fastball on hitters' hands. We got to see a really good at-bat between Savory and McCutcheon,
yeah.
Where McCutcheon took him about eight pitches deep, hit a foul home run,
mm-hmm.
and we got to see a little bit of pop out of McCutcheon.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see Savory attacking the strike zone. Two guys, they were pretty much the two guys we were there to see. We
mm-hmm.
kept hoping that some of the guys like Matt Antonelli might be pinch hitting
mm-hmm.
so we could see more prospects in that game.
Yeah, those were, you know, two of the big three that we really wanted to go out there to see. Can't forget James Simmons in that mold either, but you know, that was a really, really stellar at-bat on both sides. And, you know, one thing that was nice to see about Savory is, you know, we knew he could throw in the low 90s, and he was working there consistently. But, you know, maybe the breaking ball wasn't there. He didn't really throw it that much at all. A pitch that he's still working on that we're hoping to talk to him about on Monday. But, you know, he really mixed in that changeup in there pretty well. He wasn't just a straight fastball pitcher. He was working that off-speed.
Yeah, and I think it's also fair to note in Savory's defense, he was only getting up to 92, but we saw him mainly out of the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
We came there and he was already pitching in the stretch. We didn't get to see him out of the windup much, so you might be able to tack on another mile per hour or two
mm-hmm.
onto that.
Yeah, and we'll be hoping to tack on a lot more details about Savory when we get a chance to talk to him on Monday. He's already agreed to an interview. Didn't want to bug him on the day he started, but he's agreed to let us bug him on Monday. But two guys that couldn't get away from us today that we had a couple of great interviews with coming out of that stop in Phoenix were Foster talking to Andrew McCutcheon, and I got a chance to sit down with James Simmons. Adam, what did you take away from your time with Andrew?
McCutcheon was really friendly. At first I go up to him and asked him if he had time for a quick interview, and he kind of gave me a funny look, and I was like, am I going to get denied an interview? He's like, you mind just coming in the dugout, man? And I was like, yeah, he's probably seen your share of sun this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we went inside in the dugout, had a good chat. I talked to him a little bit about his strength and conditioning program, whether he's trying to add muscle. I know we had a post in our forums today from Jose Can You See, like that username,
good name,
asking where McCutcheon's power has gone. We definitely saw some of that power against Savory. And he told me that he doesn't try to bulk up at all. He knows his speed is his biggest asset, so he's just trying to keep that. And I think you're going to see him. He's a guy who his bat maybe is a little bit behind some of his other tools right now. But I think once he gets in a rhythm, like he did a little bit this year towards the end of his Double-A stint, and he's really making good contact. We saw him hit a laser of drive in between short and third today. I think when he hits more hits like that, and he might be heating up right as this league ends, then you're going to start seeing the power numbers come.
Yeah, and that was a big thing. When he took Savory deep, sure it was a foul ball, but you know he was just getting the bat on the ball. He has that kind of raw power. Maybe it's not, you know, you almost think Alfonso Soriano, but that's a very far off, an extreme comparison to try to make. But that kind of power that just comes naturally with that kind of a compact swing that he can put together. And, you know, once he did that, he was hitting the ball further. So he's a guy that, like you were saying, if he can just put the bat on the ball, a lot of good things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And then another outfielder who we saw today, we'll give him a quick mention, was Greg Golson.
Mm-hmm.
I just did the Phillies top five prospect list, and he's an intriguing guy because everyone talks about his tools. You look at him, his physical stature, his forearms are just gigantic. He looks like a great athlete, but another guy who seems like the hit tool's kind of lagging. He didn't do much to impress me at all today. Granted, it was just one game, but he wasn't playing on at the top of his game today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, one game, but still, it was nice for us to get out there and go get a chance to see him. Saw a couple of good outfielders. And also, while he didn't pitch today, I had a good time getting to chat with James Simmons, a guy who I had seen before, talked to before, being a Big West product, Simmons, from UC Riverside. I got a chance to talk to him before and see what he's done in his development here a few months later. And, you know, just got a chance to sit down with him and talk about, you know, there's the kind of guys that come out in the draft and it's the pure stuff guy versus the control guy. And, you know, Simmons is definitely a guy that, well, he has plenty of stuff. I mean, he was a first-round pick for a reason, but he's known for being able to hit his spots. He's not going to blow you away, but he's going to do everything in a very efficient manner. You got a chance to talk to him about that, and he said, you know, that's really something that he takes a great deal of pride in, is that it's not lesser skills, but, you know, what he uses, he uses what he has maybe better than anyone out there, that he can just hit those spots, and that's something he likes to talk to. There's also some entertaining stuff, Simmons being a Southern California kid, an Anaheim Angels diehard growing up, now with the Oakland A's, and talking about that rivalry, got some laughs in there, and, you know, just talking about his large-scale development. As Simmons was a guy out of high school who was ranked 96th in Southern California on the prospect board by Baseball America, and then coming in this year, he's drafted 26th overall by the Oakland A's, so he's had a really long journey, and he's had a lot of good things come out of it.
Except you know how I am about minor leaguers who pitch in relief. Simmons is only pitching in relief in the Arizona Fall League. What's up with that?
Well, okay, I got a chance to talk to James about that. That's a good point. And the main issue with the Oakland A's in this situation was that Simmons threw so many innings throughout his collegiate career, especially his junior campaign with a competitive UC Riverside team. You know, if you're a strong team, your best chance to win is with your ace on the hill. So Simmons is always out there doing his thing, always pitching. And, you know, Simmons, he went out and he did a good job for his team the whole year long. And they just didn't want to work him out of the rotation and, you know, put him into the bullpen. And just had a chance to not pile up too many innings.
So, Morgan, what was your favorite thing about Phoenix?
Definitely a super fan.
Super fan. That was Scottsdale. You ready to talk about Scottsdale then?
Nods his head. Right?
Who is Superfan, Morgan?
I don't know. You describe it better.
I don't know. I think that you're pretty good with the sound effects over all of us. But, you know, Superfan is an Arizona Diamondbacks diehard that comes out here and cheers on all the youthful guys out there. It's entertaining, but also entertaining. The kind of cheers Superfan was bringing into the equation. And for an impersonation here live in our hotel room studio, Morgan Foster, please take it away.
Alright, let's see what I can get at. I'm drawing a blank on that.
You're drawing a blank on how to do Superfan? Woohoo, man! I hope you win! Woohoo! Okay, thanks, Morgan. Just sit in the corner.
Yeah.
So one thing I really noticed in Scottsdale, which is my favorite spring training complex, has nothing to do about which team plays
right
there. It's just
the
a beautiful
Giants
complex.
Just happened to play.
We got to see two teams that were loaded with talent
this evening.
Got to see the Surprise Raptors and the Scottsdale Scorpions.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Snyder was there.
Max Scherzer. Reed Brignac.
We had Chris Levansky. Elvis Andres, the list goes on and on and on and on. And I was kind of a big Levansky fan entering this year. He had that really good second half, and I was expecting big things out of him. But
how about exiting today's game? Are you still
today's game? He seemed like a guy who just had a swing that went on the same plane every time. He took the same kind of swing. It was nice to see the consistency, but his timing was just totally off, and he didn't look like he wanted to be there at all. But hopefully Morgan will be able to bring you something entertaining that Levansky did when he bats. He has some Nomar-esque batting box traits.
Yeah.
He'll step out, he'll tighten both of his gloves, he'll lift his helmet off his head, wipe the sweat off his brow, and put it back
with
on.
With each arm.
So it's like a 20-second routine, practically, and he had some at-bats that went like four or five pitches, because he kept taking them and swinging and missing, and he would do that in between every one, so we should be able to bring you an exciting little GIF of him doing that
kind
of thing.
Yeah, Morgan, we'll be bringing you the full chronicles that are Levansky, but, you know, it's something that we were able to do. A little bit more baseball-related, I guess, as entertaining as that was, is I picked up a couple more interesting interviews, Travis Snyder and Max Scherzer. What should the people know about Travis Snyder?
Travis Snyder really impressed me about how mature he is beyond his years. He was someone we did an email interview with last year, and I was reading his email interview and reading how good of a writer he was as an 18-year-old and just how advanced his thinking is. And one of the questions I wanted to ask him, and I did ask him, was about this was his first full season in professional baseball. He went from the Midwest League. Now he's playing in a winter league here in the Arizona Fall League. And I was just like, you've got to be exhausted right now. And he's like, yes, I am. And
he had the bat to show it tonight.
Yeah, and Morgan got some good pictures too where Snyder, it was his first at bat, right?
Mm-hmm.
He took a huge hack. Was it on a two-strike
yeah,
pitch?
Definitely not protecting. We can put it that way.
And this bat, I don't think I could throw a bat that far if I tried. It went all the way almost to the bullpen, the warm-up
yeah.
area for
the warning smoking. Track power right there out of his hand.
And it was funny, some little kid in the stands, Dad, I almost got hit by a bat. Oh, are they out getting the mosquitoes and flies? No, Travis threw it at me. And I asked Travis about that. He said, man, I'm tired. And he ended up doing it again later in the game. And when I talked to him, he said he did that a couple days ago, too. But it's really cool just seeing him stay afloat here. And he's doing more than staying afloat. Mm-hmm. He's mashing. And not only are the ballparks here hitter-friendly just because of the whole environment here, but also Travis pointed out how a lot of the pitchers are fatigued. They've thrown 150-plus mm-hmm. innings or so. So he felt he wasn't apprehensive at all about facing this kind of advanced competition. He was perfectly ready for it. And I think he's a guy who could honestly be big league ready by the end of next year.
Oh, yeah. If he keeps progressing at this rate, I mean, he's been mashing everywhere he goes. It's going to get to a point where there's just not enough minor league systems left to keep him down there.
Yeah, and I thought really watching his swing, we watched him from three or four different angles tonight, and his load time is picturesque.
Oh, wow.
When you see him cork up and get ready to hit the pitch, it's almost like a spring retracting and
yeah.
ready to explode, and the balance was perfect. It was very impressive.
You know, one thing that was kind of cool about it, getting to see the freeze frame shots, having Morgan along with us to take those pictures, is it's really weird. I think he has a lot more talent before you get me on this comparison, but his load, the way he puts all his weight on that back leg and can just balance before he fires through like that spring, very similar to Matt Stairs. In the way that Stairs is just very relaxed in the box, and then when you know he lifts up his front leg and plants on his back, you see all that power line up, and he can just channels it. And you know, it's worked for Matt Stairs, who he's been in the league forever, and he's not the most talented of players we've ever seen, but so Travis Snyder has a similar approach, and he may be one of the most talented players we're seeing, so that's something to be very excited about for Travis's development.
Yeah, we've had people come up to us and ask who we think the premier player is here,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard not to say Travis Snyder
right
now. Who are some guys who impressed you tonight?
You know, one guy, he didn't impress me on the hill because it was his off day out of the bullpen, but he impressed me with the interview was Max Scherzer. He was probably near the top of guys that I wanted to talk to because, I mean, we knew Snyder's story. It's basically that he's amazing, which is cool. But Max Scherzer's story has a lot more odds and ends that really haven't been explored for those of you who don't remember it right off the top of your head. But Scherzer was drafted 11th overall in the 2006 draft by the Arizona Diamondbacks. His agent is Scott Boras, and Scherzer ends up signing minutes before the deadline, a full year later, before he would have been thrown back into the 2007 draft. And, you know, something that I was talking to him about is Max always wanted to be an Arizona Diamondback. When he was drafted, that was where he wanted to go. The situation was perfect. His family loved the environment. It's somewhere that he wanted to be. He really wanted this deal to happen. So it's getting into, you know, the last hours, the last minutes, and, you know, it just seems like it's really not going to happen. Then it does. And, you know, so he has this whole story of what happens that year away. How did he, you know, keep everything going? And then the happy ending of he got to be with the team he wants to be with. You know, now being just, a lot of these guys are so close to the majors right now. And, you know, here we were in Scottsdale, which is the spring training home of the Arizona Diamondbacks. In Arizona, the state that the Diamondbacks happen to play. And so here he is wearing that big league uniform. You know, this time a year ago, it seemed very, very, very unlikely that he was even going to become anywhere near that Arizona Diamondbacks uniform.
Mm-hmm. And he is wearing it now. And Morgan, do you have any words of wisdom to end this one on for us?
Yeah.
I like my steak rare!
Yes, yes. Morgan learned today that hamburgers aren't edible.
So he sent it back to the fryer. He kicked it back up. Tomorrow's Sunday. They don't have any games, so that kind of stinks for us. But we'll be doing our homework. Get some more games for you on Monday. More interviews coming Monday.
More podcasts. We might even podcast some of our interviews.
I mean, if we get bored, we might just podcast for the heck of it. We don't have anything to do tomorrow and make story ideas. So and until the next time we're bored, or until the next time we have something relevant, Morgan Foster, Adam Foster, I'm Adam Loberstein, and we'll be back with you again shortly. Thanks for listening.